Hi everyone, and welcome along to The Punts ahead of the fourth round of the FA Cup. We've got an action-packed show for you with Derek's pearls of wisdom to come, along with the best bets from the three wise men of the podcast, Pete Farries, Gav P and Al Ross. We'll also hear from Vincent Kompany, who's joined by David Alorca, and Vinny gives you a few tips for the Euros. John Gibby looks at potential cup upsets later on, but first, as ever, it's over to DK and Alex to preview the televised FA Cup ties involving Premier League teams, and that starts with a trip to Griffin Park.
We do indeed start at Griffin Park, Emma. Looking forward to getting stuck into the fourth round of the FA Cup. We're previewing the games involving the Premier League sides that are televised. Alex Dunn alongside me, a warm welcome.
What am I doing here? I don't do FA Cups. I don't do international breaks.
Or internationals.
It appears that we're taking the Cup seriously.
We are.
Yeah, we're not focusing on the Friday night games, although I'm hopeful that Northampton can do something against Derby. I think they're a decent price. We can't talk about Tranmere or Watford against Manchester United.
Exactly.
Because this is Thursday morning and they haven't played yet.
We can talk about this one. Brentford taking on Leicester. This is a 12:45 kickoff on Saturday. This one, Brentford are 3-1 to win the game. The draw 13-5. Leicester at 88-100. A wide range of markets on the William Hill website and on the app. If you're looking at qualification betting, Brentford 9-4 to qualify, with Leicester in the betting at 1-3. Brentford made the fifth round of the FA Cup last season, going well in the Championship, fourth place. They've got the Championship's leading goal scorer in Ollie Watkins as well. But Leicester, they bounce back midweek in a big way.
I've got a lot of time for both teams, to be honest. They both had fantastic seasons in their respective leagues. And I think it's interesting to start with that Leicester are priced up as they were in recent away days at Newcastle and Burnley. That either shows the regard in which the traders value Brentford, or the fact that Leicester could rotate, or it could just be that Burnley and Newcastle aren't up to much. Always a chance. Brentford will pose problems for Leicester here, and it won't be easy. To start with, you look at Leicester at that price and you go, probably okay. And it may well prove to be the case, but I certainly could give Brentford a goal in this game. I think Leicester will have difficulty shutting them out. So therefore, I'm hoping for a fair bit of entertainment. I think we'll see a few goals.
Yeah, and Jamie Vardy limped off midweek with a buttock injury. So his participation is in doubt for this game, which will hinder Leicester City to a certain extent, even though he's been in a little bit of a dry spell as far as goal scoring is concerned.
Yeah, it looked like his hamstring, but if you want to go buttock, Dave, that's fine to start with. But I think Brendan Rodgers came out afterwards and said, no, it was his glutes more than anything. Yeah. So I don't know if chances are he'll miss this game. You'd have thought you wouldn't risk him. They've got a lot of options, Leicester, because when I was looking for a bet in this game as well, I was looking at players. Harvey Barnes springs to mind. He's 13 to 2 to score first.
Yep. 23-10 to score any time as well. I like Harvey Barnes a lot.
I know you do, but he scored first in the last two games now.
Right, okay.
In the league. He also notched against Wigan in the previous round. So you're thinking maybe he could be the way to go, but then does he start here? Because they've got a lot of options. In the wide areas, Damari Gray and Mark Albrighton were unused subs midweek. So you'd think, well, they're going to play a part. Then you've got Jose Perez, who got a brace and could be the man to lead the line. But Iheanacho could come in. There's a lot of possibilities for Leicester here, which means if you are betting on goal scorers, I'd hang fire until team news comes out. Barnes would be the one that I'd focus on. Perez, if he scored two, he's a streaky player. We saw that at the end of last season for Newcastle. He could go on a little bit of a run. And you mentioned Watkins for Brentford as well. There's goal scorers out on the pitch, which hopefully will lead to some entertainment.
I think this will be a decent game to watch, this one. I'm expecting full-on entertainment. I'd give Brentford at least a goal in this game. I actually fancy over 3.5 goals in the match.
I think goals is probably the way to play it, to be honest with you. I think Harvey Barnes is worth a bet if he starts. I'd back him to score first. But with Leicester, they've got a lot of attacking options, so I'll leave that out of it for now. And I'm going to go with Leicester to win, but both teams to score. Like you, I can see Brentford scoring here, but I just think Leicester have got enough quality going forward. Whoever lines up in that front, well, 2-1-3, whatever it is, I think they've got enough about them to outscore Brentford here. So Leicester and both teams to score the main pick.
I like it. Leicester and both teams to score in that game kicking off at 12:45 on Saturday. Now, let's hear from John Gibby, who's going to give us a couple of outsiders to follow in the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Let's look away from the TV games and see if we can pick out a potential cup upset or two. And we'll start with Sheffield United's trip to the Den on Saturday. I know the Blades have been one of the more exciting storylines of the Premier League season, but they need to tread carefully here. Millwall have found their feet of late, and they're now unbeaten in their last six in all competitions and have only lost at home once since September. Sheffield United didn't put up any trees in beating Fylde 2-1 in the last round, and Millwall could be a bit of value for the upset. And I'd also be taking a look at Coventry City to beat Birmingham. With Coventry playing their home games at St Andrews this season, in practice, both teams are at home, but the Sky Blues have played well at their adopted ground. Meanwhile, aside from their win over Blackburn in the last round of the Cup, Birmingham have only one victory in their last nine games. At the prices, Coventry are much more appealing.
On to Hull versus Chelsea then, 5:30 on Saturday. This one, Hull are in the betting at 6-1. The draw is 17-5 with Chelsea in the market at 4-9. If you're looking for qualification betting, as many people will be, Hull are 7-2 in that market. Chelsea available at 1-6. And the match result on both teams to score could be of interest to you as well. Hull 9-1, the draw 4-1, Chelsea in the betting at 7-4. Now, Frank Lampard doesn't need a run in the FA Cup, but he'd like one because they have faltered in the Premier League recently, and it was disappointing that they couldn't put 10-man Arsenal away midweek. Yeah. It looked like Chelsea had 10 men for large portions of that game, because Arsenal they had more than a foothold in that second half, and I think they did definitely deserve the point.
Yeah, Chelsea haven't been fantastic for probably a month, 6 weeks maybe.
Yeah,
now.
Definitely. People were anointing Lampard as a second coming, weren't they? And maybe a little bit premature with that.
Well, I think there's frustrations. I don't understand the centre-half deal. Christensen, for me, is a weak link.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
So when you see him lining up for Chelsea, if I was an opposition striker, I'd think, great, I can get at him. Mm. I can bully him, to be honest. Whereas at least when they play Rudiger and Zouma, You've got strength there. You've got heading ability. You know that they may not be the best centre-halves in the world, but they're going to get rid of it. I just think there's been so much chopping and changing at the back, it can't help. But then they do concede a lot of goals, so you can see why he's changing things, because something's not working, clearly.
Yeah.
There's been times when Alonso's played left-back, then Emerson, then Azpilicueta, Reece James played right-back, and then they just change too often, as far as I'm concerned. Going forward, they've been pretty good all season, particularly on the road. I think the only times that they failed to score away from home was the opening day at Man U, and then recently at St James's Park. But I think that their little sticky spell, or at least the last couple of games where things haven't gone their way, will come to an end quite emphatically here. I think Hull will bear the brunt of Chelsea's frustration, really. Because as well, you've got fringe players at Chelsea who may well get a chance here, who'll be eager to prove something. Mm. Because let's face it, the players that are playing in the Premier League aren't pulling up trees right now. So they'd have to see this as an opportunity to go out there and really stake a claim for a first team spot. So I think that could make it interesting. I just think Chelsea will win, and win fairly comfortably.
Well, we talked off air before we came on the punt about Gareth Southgate. I'm going off at a complete tangent here. But we talked about like Gareth Southgate and the optimism they will be going into the Euros, and that's kind of been dashed with some high-profile injuries recently, Harry Kane and Marcus Rashford getting injured. One player that's really stood out to me recently is Callum Hudson-Odoi. Mm. He's unfurnished as things stand, but he's had a real impact in the FA Cup this season, being directly involved in four goals in his last three FA Cup starts, scored a couple. I'm looking at Hudson-Odoi to potentially score any time here at 19-10 and 6-1 to score first if he does start in this game. Do you rate him?
I do rate him. I was at the game, the Newcastle-Chelsea game, at the weekend, and he's the one that you think, oh, you could...
He looks really good, doesn't he?
You could do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, a concern would be that he started right wing with Willian on the left. Now, all Willian will do is cut inside. Mm. And that's all he did all game. Then you've got Azpilicueta at left back. They didn't start that game, Chelsea, with a left-footed player in the team.
Yeah.
And they looked unbalanced. Emerson came on and attacked down the left and actually added a bit more. That concerned me, because if I can see that, why can't he? Surely, you know, if you stretch teams, you're going to cause more problems. But Hudson-Odoi is a live wire and he's dangerous. And if he starts, he's worthy of respect. A lot of players, you have to throw that caveat in this week, because it's difficult to know exactly what teams are going to do. Yeah. A player I like in this game, and I think he's 15-4 to score any time, which is phenomenally big, is Ross Barkley.
Okay,
scored
in the
previous round. He's then come off the bench in the last two league games. I think he will start here, and I would rate him as a really solid bet at that price. But it's if he starts. That's the caveat every time.
Let's get stuck into this one then with the best bets for Hull-Chelsea. I think Chelsea will win and will win pretty convincingly here.
Yeah, I think they will as well, to be honest with you. I could probably give Hull a goal because Chelsea tend to concede goals.
Yeah.
But I can see Chelsea scoring a few here, to be honest with you. I think that their recent toils in the league will sort of come to a head here, and I think they'll just go, right, enough's enough. And I think Hull could bear the brunt of that. So a confident Chelsea win. I'd back Chelsea minus a goal as well. I think that's slightly odds against. That could be the way to go. And if you are looking for players, Ross Barkley would be the one, provided he starts. I think he's a fine price to score any time. He scored in the previous round, and he could play in a position that means he'll be getting forward. So Barkley, if you're looking at players, but Chelsea minus one, the main pick.
DK and Alex are going to be back in a minute to talk about Man City Wolves at the Etihad. Surely there's going to be a load of goals in that one. First, though, let me remind you about William Hill's Bet Boost. If you're putting an acca on cup or league games this weekend, make sure you use yours. All you've got to do is log into your account, put your picks in the bet slip, and if there are three or more, you'll be able to tap the boost button and watch the odds get bigger. Best of luck!
To the Etihad then for Manchester City versus Fulham. City are 1-12 to win this game. They draw 9-1. Fulham 25-1. Qualification 1-33. Manchester City. Fulham 10-1. I mean, we've been looking at City to win and both teams to score throughout the season. We mentioned it on too many occasions this season. It's 5-4 in this game. But I think in the Premier League in particular, the comeback of Aymeric Laporte changes that bet slightly. He's such a strong defender for City. I'm not sure whether he'll feature in this one because he's just returned from injury.
Yeah.
But I think going forward, that's not going to be as profitable as it has been in the first half of the season because of Laporte. He's such a figure in that central defence.
No, I completely agree. He's the best defender they've got. And with him in the side, they look a lot steadier. I want to give credit to Chris Wilder.
Okay.
Not linked to this. But it sort of is. Because City changed their system to play against Sheffield United midweek. And I don't think City changed their system for many teams. And Laporte came in, but as a left-sided of a three with Fernandinho and Otamendi. And for all that they didn't look quite as good going forward, I don't think City. Just the fact that they had to change to compete with a newly promoted side is testament to what the great job
they're
doing.
They put one on Laporte early, did you see that
yes.
as well? Yeah.
But you would.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You have to. And yes, he will make a massive difference if playing here, which I don't think he will actually. Mm. You mentioned, what price are Fulham here? 25-1?
Yeah, 25-1.
And you kind of go, you do get the odd freak FA Cup result.
You do.
But generally not here.
Yeah, they're so strong in the cup competitions, Manchester City. And this season, maybe they'll be stronger than ever because they know the Premier League's gone now, don't they? So Pep Guardiola will be looking out. Vincent Kompany mentioned it last week on this show. They'll be looking at a different kind of treble this season, Manchester City, with the competitions. Obviously, with the Champions League, the main priority. But that record that we can see here, if you're listening, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Manchester City's home record in the FA Cup since the beginning of 2018. They'll just, I think, blow Fulham away this weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
And you're just looking to extract value on that basis, aren't you?
Well, it doesn't matter who plays for City, really. Any shuffling of the pack is fine, because if Foden starts, he's still class. Jesus or Aguero, doesn't matter. Both of them. Possibly.
Yeah.
Then Sterling, Mahrez, the Silvers, De Bruyne, they can't all start, but any variation of that is going to cause problems.
I'm looking for odds against bets here. Phil Foden to score any time is 23-20. I glanced down at the other markets we've got available. A match result and five or more goals in the match. I'm thinking, I wonder what price City are in that market.
Yeah.
And it's 5-4.
Yeah.
So you're scratching around for something odds against for a big City win.
It's difficult, isn't it, to find any kind of value here. We've got to talk about Fulham because since Alexander Mitrovic got injured a couple of games ago, they've actually been quite tight, I suppose. They will have not conceded a goal in the last three games now. They drew 0-0 with Charlton midweek. They're not as good going forward without him, but that's blatantly obvious. But they can still cause problems. They're a decent side going forward and they could score here, and that may be the best way to get value out of the game.
What are we going for in this one then? I think we both agree that Manchester City are going to hammer Fulham, and it's a way of finding a bet for that particular outcome. And it's not easy to do that.
No, they are very short Man City, but rightly so. Their home record in the Cup's phenomenal. Yeah. And they should win this and win it fairly comfortably. So you're looking at handicap options, maybe -2, -3. But I think that's a little extreme. I think they could score a few, but I think Fulham will score. Right. Quite simply. So City and both teams to score is the obvious pick. It's something that we put up week in, week out, but it lands enough to justify it. Mm. I think Fulham will score, but I think City will score 3 or 4. So City and both teams to score the pick.
Okay, maybe have a look at the correct score markets there as well. 3-1, 4-1, 5-1 to Manchester City as well. And now let's hear from Derek McGovern and his bet in the FA Cup this weekend.
There's a bet I'm very excited indeed about in the FA Cup this weekend. Hull at 11-2 to beat Chelsea. Poor old Chelsea boss Frank Lampard is looking right now like someone whose iPod permanently plays songs by the Smiths. His team played for an hour against 10-man Arsenal on Tuesday and still couldn't win. And winning against Arsenal is practically de rigueur these days. De rigueur is a French striker, I think. I'm not saying Hull are any great shakes, but it's my guess they won't have to be. It's my guess Chelsea will have their eyes on finishing in the top four. It's my guess they'll be happy to go out of the cup. Normally I'm not very good at guessing. See my nap every week, but I've got extreme confidence in Hull this weekend. Only last week I meant to type Hull into my sat nav, but by mistake typed hell. Still got there. Bournemouth manager Eddie Howe is paying the price for not signing a striker in the summer, which is ironic since the reason he didn't sign a striker in the summer is that he wouldn't consider paying the price. Despite huge criticism this season, Howe insists he won't change the way his team plays, i.e. badly. That's good news for the fans of every opposing team. Howe played a weak team in their last round of the Cup, just as he does in every Premier League game, but Arsenal were almost at full strength for their third round win over Leeds. In the Cup, it's about picking out which teams will be under strength, and as Bournemouth have no other option, Arsenal had to beat the bets at 5-6. If you think I'm struggling to find a nap on a tricky weekend of fixtures, guess again. It's what I'm about to do. West Ham meet West Brom in the big West derby, and my money, which always seems to go west, is on West Brom at 100-30.
I'm surprised there Derek didn't mention Liverpool because obviously beat Manchester United last weekend and it wasn't a particularly impressive performance, I didn't think, but they won 2-0 and you know what, I was frustrated with Mo Salah.
Why?
Because...
He missed that sitter.
Yeah, but it's just the way he... I know that it's a passionate fixture.
Yeah.
The way he celebrated... having scored a goal against no defence, having stunk the place out for 90 minutes, was a bit extreme for me.
I've played football with you before, and I've seen you score goals against lesser opposition and take your top off. So
it's not a pleasant sight either,
no,
is it?
It's not.
At least he's got the body for it and the physique.
No, I know what you mean, but...
It didn't bother me
as much as it bothered you.
I don't think he's been good this season.
He's not been as good as... Well, put it this way, we did a combined Liverpool-Man City 11
yes.
when they met earlier in the season. And I put him in ahead of Mane, and I wouldn't now. And I know that maybe I was just late to the party there because Liverpool fans have been saying that for a while. Mm. But I don't think he'll play here anyway.
No, I don't.
But it's interesting because Liverpool have rotated so much in cups recently because of other competitions. And now they've actually got a little bit of a bit of a gap anyway.
A little bit of a gap, but I think he will go weaker, Jurgen Klopp, just as he did against Everton in the previous round.
It's factored into the price, though.
Yeah, it's factored into the price.
Liverpool are only a little bit shorter than they have been for Premier League away games this season, like Bournemouth away, Villa away. I think they went off around about twos on.
They're a bigger price for this game against Shrewsbury than they were for Manchester United at home.
Yeah, which... tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it says a lot about Manchester United as well. I think. Shrewsbury are 6-1 to win the game. The draw 4-1 with Liverpool in the betting at 2-5. Qualification prices: Shrewsbury are 9-2 in that market. Liverpool are 1-8. If you're looking at both teams to score, yes is 4-5. No is in the betting at 10-11. I'm focusing on Divock Origi here because I think you're getting 7-2 for him to score first in the game. You're talking about the best side in the world. Going to Shrewsbury and you're getting 7-2 about the guy that's going to be the focal point of every attack, and I just think it's good value.
You've napped him?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. We're going to head to that later, but since you told me that you were napping him, I've been at pains to try and not put him up as a bet. Not because I disagree with you, just for a bit of variety. But looking at this game, that's pretty much the only bet I could put up.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he is the one that you can bank on to start. It may be that when team news comes out, you go, oh, there's a big hit to play and I might get involved with them. But
Or you might see someone that you didn't expect in an advanced position, for instance. Yeah, exactly. Then you can take advantage of the goal scorer prices.
And in midfield, there's players who could contribute. But Origi just seems really, really solid, and these kind of games are made for him. And he seems content enough playing that role. He can't break into that front three. There's not many in the world that could. So he's just there to pick up the pieces, and this is a game that he could excel in. He's probably the bet. But as I said, wait for team news, because there may just be the odd one who you think, well, could be interesting there. It is quite hard to put up a pro Shrewsbury bet, especially at that price.
Yeah.
I'd want more, I think, if I was going to side with them. But again, after team news, you may give them a bit more of a chance than we are doing right now.
Liverpool look attractively priced to me, even though we know that Jurgen Klopp is going to make significant changes. My best bets in this game, Divock Origi to score first. I think it's a wonderful price as well. So that's what I'm going with. What are you going with, sir?
Yeah, I hate to agree with you.
I know you do.
But Origi to score first just seems the sensible bet in this. It's a game that is hard to find value in. Liverpool, if you're putting Akers together, are probably a fair price, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
But rotation's factored into that price. Part of the rotation system is Divock Origi, and I think he'll score first here.
Divock Origi to score first, in agreement then. That's a decent price as well. Now, let's hear from Vincent Kompany, who's joined by David Alorca. This was filmed a while ago, and he speaks this time about the upcoming Euros, looking forward to the Euros in the summer. Let's hear from Vincent Kompany.
You spent a lot of time of your career playing in England. Euros is coming up. England are one of the favourites to win the competition. What would you say England's strengths and weaknesses are leading into the Euros?
Strengths? If you would have asked me 2 years ago, I would have said the weaknesses, first of all, are Belgium. But because this team was so young when we played them, twice in a World Cup, and the amount of progression the team has made with Sterling, Rashford, you know, all these guys, you know, Maguire, all of them have gone to another level. It makes them a real threat. They're a better team than they were 2 years ago, and I think that's their biggest strength, if you like, the fact that they had a good talented team and they've progressed. We've seen the same with the Belgium generation. We had a talented team but not really achieving anything, and then with age and experience we became a serious team, and that's what England's heading in the right direction.
Who else do you think are going to be the big challenges at the Euros?
I see France for the same reasons, exactly the same reasons as England. Just such a young team, and they won it. They won the World Cup and progressed so much. The only thing that might stand in their way is the fact that they won a trophy, so you never know if the mindset is the same as before you won something. And then I hope Belgium, and with the team we have, is if we can stay injury, protected from injuries, I really hope Belgium is going to compete. You know, that's my dream.
The dream then for Vincent Kompany, Belgium to win the Euros, obviously it would be that. England top the market. 4-1 for the Euros. The Belgians are 5-1. France 6-1. Holland 13-2. Spain 8-1. Germany 8-1. Italy 9-1. 16-1. And bigger the rest. Should England be favourites for the Euros?
No.
I'm excited about the prospect of us winning it, obviously.
I think there's a chance that England could win the Euros, yeah. But
they've not got the right manager.
Yeah, you don't like him, do you?
No, he's, I don't think he's any good.
They've got some good players.
They've got some very good players.
But yeah, as a betting proposition, probably a little on the short side. If you'd have said to me, what?
I know I've not qualified that that remark about Southgate either. I've just a flippant statement there.
Yeah.
We've not got time to go into the reasons why he's no good, but maybe sometime.
I might start doing that then on this. So I'll just slagging people off and not explaining why. There's teams in there that if you'd have said 4 or 6 years ago, England will be half the price of Germany for the Euro 2020.
Yeah.
But what's happened? Belgium are tempting at that price. I know they're a nearly team. Well, they're not even a nearly team, are they? they're barely a team. They're a lot of individuals. But those individuals are so good. Mm. It has to click eventually on the big stage.
You think 5-1? Would you, you'd rather take Belgium at 5-1 than England at 4-1?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay. Obviously I want England to do well, and I certainly think they could.
I just hope those players that have picked up injuries at the stage of the season come into... Maybe they get over them just in time and they end up coming to the Euros fresh.
Yeah.
That would be the dream.
Yeah, but... there's no suggestion this will happen, but if there was no Kane and Rashford, what do England do there?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, then you're looking, what's Jermaine Defoe doing? You know, like, Andy Carroll, let's get the old guard back. It is difficult. Callum Wilson's one guy who could lead the line. He's had a pretty torrid time, but he did score midweek, so... And that's a lovely segue into Bournemouth-Arsenal, Dave.
It is. Thank you, Alex. Bournemouth are 16-5 to win the game. They draw 11-4 with Arsenal 4-5. Qualification, Bournemouth 5-2 in that market. Arsenal are 2-7. Wide range of markets on the William Hill website and on the app, including a way to build your odds on the website and the app as well, if you wish to do that. Bournemouth did bounce back midweek because it has been a torrid spell, not just for Callum Wilson, but for Eddie Howe as well. His... tenure at the club has been called into question, rightly or wrongly.
Yep.
Which is it?
Rightly.
Okay.
You can't have performances and results as they've had and not be called into question when you spend as much as Bournemouth spend. They're bad at spending.
Yeah.
Some of the transfers are just, they just haven't worked and they've paid too much. But I want to talk about Arsenal here. Right, 24 games gone in the league. I know this is a cup game.
Yeah.
How many games have Arsenal won?
Ooh.
Off the top of your head.
6.
Correct.
Is it?
Did you know that?
No, I knew it was around about...
6 games from 24.
There's only 5-8.
Two teams in the league have won less league games than Arsenal. Watford and Norwich. Bournemouth have won the same amount.
That is unbelievable.
Arsenal
have got a really good record against Bournemouth as well. They've won 8 of the last 11 in all competitions against Bournemouth. A question I want to ask you is, have you seen dramatic improvement since Mikel Arteta stepped in?
Not dramatic improvement.
Definite improvement.
A little bit of improvement.
Because Arsenal fans, Twitter's like, it's not the real world, is it? you seem to, I always think, oh, everyone's on Twitter. It's such a small percentage of people and such a small percentage of Arsenal fans. But the ones that I've seen talking about Arsenal have said that Arteta is definitely the man for the future, and he's already instilled his playing philosophy on this Arsenal team.
He may well have done, and I think he will prove to be a success, but it might take a bit of time because the players that he's got aren't very good. They just don't do it for me in terms of the stature of Arsenal. And when I was growing up, what Arsenal were and what they did. And that's similar to Manchester United, that's just slipped away recently. It'd be good to see them bounce back. And I do like Arteta, and I do think he will be a success there.
Yeah. Some of the signings have been strange, haven't they? Obviously, David Luiz is the one that stands out because he got sent off midweek against Chelsea. And you just had the image of him in the dressing room watching the dying stages.
Put it there.
In
the little box.
Little box. And that was a weird signing, and it's not one that you think, Arsenal required.
Pepe's the one for me who...
Yeah.
I mean...
I still think there's a player in there, though.
Where? how deep are you looking?
I think that he offers Arsenal an outlet on the counter-attack in particular. I know it's not happened for him yet. I'm willing to accept that. But I think there's still a future for Pepe.
If I'm paying that much money for a player, I want him to be more than a fast runner.
Okay.
And I'm with you in that early doors, I thought there was something there. He's had enough time. I know it takes time, and it may well be that in time it happens.
I think he's trigger shy at the moment. I just think he's lacking such confidence. He doesn't shoot. He's basically making bad decisions all the time, and that's because of a lack of confidence.
And it could well be that when things do click, he turns into a player. And I kind of hope he does, because, like I said, I was excited when he joined, but it just hasn't worked for him. He's the one for me who stands out as the so much money to spend. So in terms of this game, honestly, with Bournemouth in the pickle that they have been, I know that they bounce back, but I would be surprised if Eddie Howe goes really strong here, given the fact they've got bigger fish to fry in the league. That said, a win here would probably just boost morale, and if I was Howe, I'd disregard this game.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say, right, we have to stay in the league.
I think you're right.
And as such, I saw Arsenal and thought, yeah, I'm pretty tempted by that. But then I had a word with myself and went, Arsenal are odds on away from home, and as we've seen this season, that's not a good bet.
This is a very difficult match to call because Bournemouth have been through that hellish patch but bounced back midweek with a win. Arsenal still in a period of uncertainty with Mikel Arteta instilling his footballing philosophy. I've got no idea.
Full stop.
That's why you're here.
I was sorely tempted by Arsenal, but backing them at this price away from home just is not a viable thing this season. It just hasn't been. It's difficult, though, to know where to go. I'm going to say this ends in a 1-1 draw.
Okay.
I don't trust Arsenal to keep a clean sheet. I don't trust Bournemouth full stop. A 1-1 draw, and we'll do it all again at the Emirates in a couple of weeks' time.
Bit of fence sitting there then. 1-1 draw for Alex in that one. Now we're going to finish the show with a look at the best bets from Pete Farries, Gav Puslowski and Al Ross, starting with Mr. Farries.
Reading at 13-10 this week's FA Cup nap, they host a Cardiff side who they beat at the Medeski 3-0 back in August. Cardiff weren't great in the previous round either, had to win 4-3 at Carlisle, having gone 1-0 down, and never actually truly, even when leading by a couple of goals, looked entirely comfortable. Reading have won two of their last three at home, drawn the other one. Losing at Millwall last weekend doesn't really mean much to me. Millwall, a great home side. And of course, Reading did get a win at a talented home side in Fulham recently. It's too easy, it's too big. Reading 13-10, the nap of the week.
My nap in League One this weekend is all about Rochdale at home to Gillingham. Rochdale have lost four of their last five games at home, only beaten Bolton. And Bolton have generally been battered week in, week out. Whereas Gillingham on their travels set up not to be beaten. They've drawn four of the last five games away from home, actually drawing six of the last eight, and that's what I'm going for in this one. Gillingham's last two games on the road have both been 0-0. Could be a distinct lack of goals in this one, but my nap is Rochdale Gillingham draw 23-10.
No team averages more goals per game in League Two than Crewe do, and yes, there have only been three in Crewe's last two, but there are reasons for that. And there were 27 goals in their previous six. Both teams to score has landed in 10 of their last 11. And they're taking on a porous Scunthorpe side who are starting to find the net themselves. 18 goals in Scunthorpe's last five, both teams to score, and overs on the goals landed in all of those. Scunthorpe not in form, Crewe are. And so both teams to score 6-10, Crewe 5-4, both fine, but twin them. Crewe and both teams to score is 14-5.
Let's have a look at the Naps table to finish off then. My best bet, mentioned it in the show, Divock Origi to score first at 7-2. I think it's a decent price for Liverpool's main striker in that game, you would assume, yeah. Away from home against Shrewsbury, so that's my bet.
I've gone with the goal scorer as well, Miguel Almiron in the Newcastle game. I don't often nap in Newcastle games. Newcastle at home to Oxford. Almiron, all of a sudden, can't stop scoring. Scored against Palace before Christmas, scored away at Wolves, and he's also scored in both games against Rochdale, the away game, and the replay at St James's. And I can just see a similar thing happening here, to be honest. He's 2-1 to score any time, which seems really fair to me. Newcastle will rotate a little bit, but they can't rotate much because they don't have enough bodies.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if he doesn't start. And I'd be hopeful at that price anyway. I think it's a really good bet.
Very good. You can see the other naps there on the screen as well. Crewe winning both teams to score for Al, who's top of the table currently. Much to everyone's annoyance, Al Ross is there at the summit. Thank you, Mr. Dunn.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's watched or listened to the show this week. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. Myself and Alex will be back next week for the Premier League.